Welcome to Egyptian Mysticism Yesterday, A Course in Miracles Today, a 365-step journey to enlightenment, guided by Dr. Caroline Isis Fuqua.
Step 41. God is not my body. God is the spirit that animates my body. My body is a vehicle that I choose to be driven by my higher self, the part of me that is the image and likeness of God. On the temple walls of Egypt, this is depicted as Horus, the soul, riding on the back of the hippopotamus, symbolizing Set, the ego. From the moment I rise in the morning until my head hits the pillow at night, I ride with spirit, my higher self, God, in the driver's seat. My mind and heart stayed on God. Perfection is my experience. I am never alone or disabled, for God goes with me wherever I go. Step 42. Since the spirit of the living God animates my form, all of my strength comes from that. And since God is the all-seeing eye, and as God is the sum total of my being, when I accept it, vision is a part of my inheritance. It is imperative that I come to see that everything is God, becoming aware of itself as that. It is imperative that I know the unity of creation and that there is no separation. This I will see, and this I will know, because vision is God's gift to me. Step 43. When God chose to extend heaven into the earth plane or to make manifest the invisible realm, in that infusion, God became the source of everything. Thus, there is absolutely no being apart from God. All that I think I am seeing that is not God or God-like is an illusion I am making up based on my separated perception, and in truth does not exist. I can think I see it or believe that it exists, but I am not the creator, and therefore I do not have the power to disagree. God says it's all God, and it's all good. And whether I agree or not, I cannot change that, for in truth, I cannot be or see apart from God. Step 44. God is the light inside of which all exists. In truth, light is all there is. Darkness is simply the absence of light, which is actually an illusion. Although I can close my eyes and temporarily inhibit the light, I cannot extinguish it. According to the law of polarity, light is everything on one end of the pole, and darkness is nothing on the other end of the pole. In order to have vision or anything else, I will have to be where having is possible. When I open my eyes and turn toward the abundance that is available to me, God is the light in which I see. Step 45. There is only one mind. That mind is God's mind, and by extension, all minds. As God's mind is all mind, to whom do the nasty, judgmental, hateful thoughts that are possible for one to have come from? Again, let us visit the law of polarity. In order for manifestation to occur, the one had to function as two. Duality is mandatory for creation. Thus, the great allness had to begin functioning as masculine and feminine, fullness and emptiness, or context and content. With this perceived split, it became possible for us to think that we had two separate identities, spirit and ego. Although the truth that we manifested as spirit in matter, or spirit having an ego, eluded us. We began thinking we were our ego bodies. At that point, although our true thoughts remained linked with God, our focus was on a separation that actually did not exist, and we began thinking our egoic, individuated minds produced our thoughts. Underneath the spinning we are now calling thinking, the truth remains. God is the mind with which I think. Step 46. Again with the law of polarity, there appear to be two emotions, love and fear. Love occupying one end of the pole and fear the other. Since only love is real and fear is simply the absence of love, and therefore an illusion, All of the nastiness that seems to happen is on the illusion end of the pole and is given up or forgiven when our focus is transferred to the love end where God rests, rules, and abides. Nothing unloving happens with God. Thus, when standing with and as God, the forgiven state is all that is possible. And therefore, God is the love in which I forgive. Step 47. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, and all strength is God's. When I'm properly identified as the image and likeness, an emanation of God, then I am not afraid, confused, or unworthy. I trust that I will do the highest thing, and I'm confident that I will experience the highest outcome. When depending on my ego, fear is all that's possible, as the ego identified with form is powerless. Because I choose to experience mastery in all that I undertake, God is the strength in which I trust. Step 48. God is love, and fear is the absence of love. When I choose to identify as the ego, I am choosing illusion instead of truth. I am choosing weakness instead of strength. And fear is then the only possibility. Because I choose to stand with and as God, where knowledge and strength abide, there is nothing to fear. Step 49. In Egyptian mysticism, God's voice, the Holy Spirit, is Isis. Isis is Horus's mother, teacher, and guide, and she constantly speaks into his left ear, reminding him of where to go and what to do according to the will of God. I, as Horus, the hero of my story, choose to let the Holy Spirit be my guide and thus allow God to speak to me all through the day. Step 50. I am sustained by where I'm standing, not by what I'm having. Thinking that I am sustained by other than God, I am constantly struggling to have whatever I think will satisfy. But as soon as one thing is working, something else breaks down. Based on the law of polarity, one end of the pole will always be full and one end will always be empty. And I assure you, the full end will always be God's. Identified as the image and likeness of God and standing in the vibration of that, I experience myself as being wrapped in the arms of love, infused with abundance, an abundance of health, of wealth, and of the happiness that is the result of fulfilling relationships and fluent self-expression. I am eternally thankful that I am sustained by the love of God.